Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about Giga Shanghai. We've got some rumors on Tesla in China. We've also got an update to the structure of the EV tax credit. Then we've got a few more details on Panasonic's 4680 battery development, a couple things from Elon, a feature development, FSD update, some other autonomous driving news, and a couple other things as well. Kind of a choppy day for Tesla stock today. You got some sharp ups and some sharp downs, and while it didn't necessarily live up to the excitement from pre-market this morning, Tesla did end up finishing again at an all-time high close, up 1.3% to $1,229.91. More broadly, the NASDAQ did have a pretty strong day today, finishing up 0.8%. All right, we'll start off here with Tesla China, and before we kind of dive all the way into the rumor mill, we do just have a news update, and that is that the financing option that Tesla started offering last week that we had talked about, which had created the option of a potentially 0% down payment on a potentially five-year term, Tesla has now removed the 0% down payment from the available choices, and according to Sina here, made a comment that it was due to high influx of orders, causing Tesla to worry about delivery wait times. Unfortunately, we don't have a direct quote here from Tesla, so we can't put full credibility on that, at least in terms of the reason, but for sure the 0% down payment has been removed. So, that being said, now we will jump into the rumor mill. There were some things going around on Twitter last night, and unfortunately, they involved some deleted tweets. So no source on this one, and normally in this type of a situation, I wouldn't even talk about this, but the rumor was that Shanghai, Giga Shanghai, has hit a 700,000 vehicle per year production rate. That would be about 58,000 vehicles per month, or about 14,000 per week. So if we remember back to September, total production in Shanghai was about 50,000 vehicles, or 11,700 per week, so we're a bit shy of that 700,000 annualized rate. But if we look back to August, Tesla improved their weekly rate in Shanghai by about 2,300 vehicles just in that 1 month. So kind of coincidentally here, to get to 14,000 per week from 11,700 per week in September, that would require an addition of another 2,300. Now, I can't really remember exactly. There could have been downtime in August or September that's affecting that comparison a little bit. Probably was. But the point there isn't precision. It's just to note that that sort of progress in production rate can happen in a very short period of time. And we've seen that certainly before. So there was a lot of questioning on the credibility of this person that was sharing this rumor, and obviously that tweet has now been deleted, so fair questions. But in this case, I do feel like there's strong likelihood that the 700,000 rate is accurate. And remember, September did come in at 50,000 vehicles, and it's likely that production was ramping throughout the month. So the last couple of weeks of September was probably even a higher production rate, maybe a 53 or 54,000 monthly rate there at the end of September. So to stretch that to 58,000 per month isn't too much of an increase. Now, when we think about Q3 and specifically October, we have to remember that October started out with a few holiday days. So the production number for October that we should get in a few weeks here is going to be suppressed by those days. But keep in mind, this is a rumor. The rumor that I'm hearing is more than 50,000 for October for Shanghai, despite those down days. And that obviously would validate that 700,000 plus production rate. Now, hopefully we'll get some more validity on that possibility when we get the sales numbers for China, so retail and export sales, which should happen sometime in the next few days. I think we should get those at least by the middle of next week. Now, like I said, we'll have to wait a few weeks for the reported China production, but the sales should at least help us get a little bit of insight into if a number like that is even possible. If October does hit that 50,000 plus production number, I think that maps a pretty clear path to 175,000 or more for Shanghai for Q4. Bring in Fremont, I think you're definitely looking at a possibility of 290,000 between those two, and then any additional production from the combination of Berlin and or Texas. So we just came out of Q3, very exciting quarter, but production grew 15% in Q3. Now we'd be building off a bigger base sequentially, and there's a possibility for 20% plus growth. That's production. I obviously care a lot more about production. The market might care a little bit more about deliveries. Deliveries could fluctuate based on inventory and or EV tax credit. But the possibility for another really exciting quarter here for Q4 is definitely there. Just for completeness sake, I guess since we're really diving into the rumors here, I think that same account that had deleted the 700,000 tweet had also said that the targeted rate for, I think, Q2 2022 for Shanghai was 1 million per year. I don't really have any insight on that number, so I'm not really putting any stock in it other than just to kind of keep it in mind to see if anything else out there correlates. All right, next up here, we've got a new draft of the budget reconciliation framework. So this contains an update to the EV tax credit proposal. This will be quick. We don't need to go as in-depth as last time, but if you missed the general structure, you can just go back to that episode and check it out. We'll just talk about the changes in this version. They're really all just threshold related. So the first is the income threshold. So this is based on modified adjusted gross income for the lesser of the taxable year that you're getting the credit in or the preceding taxable year. And they've dropped each of those income limits down by 38% or so from where they were previously. So joint return, that's dropped from 800,000 down to 500,000. Head of household has dropped down to 375,000 and individual down to 250,000. But the small phase out does remain. So for every $1,000 of income in excess of those thresholds, the credit that you could earn is reduced by $200. Why they know how to use a phase out, but choose not to use it for the vehicle price limits is another question, but those price limits have changed as well. For sedans, that didn't change. That's actually still at $55,000, but vans, SUVs, and pickup trucks, the price limit to be eligible for the credit now has bumped up to $80,000 for each. Those were the only changes that I saw at this point in time. So unfortunately, the union credit as of this moment is still in there, as is the eligibility for plug-in hybrids that have at least 10 kilowatt hour battery packs. Obviously, still subject to change, so we'll keep an eye out. Next here is just a little bit more detail on Panasonic's 4680 battery development plans. We had heard and discussed previously, I think last week, that Panasonic was working on finalizing the validation of their technology to manufacture the 4680s. But today we get a little bit more details from Nikkei Asia, which has published excerpts from an interview with Panasonic's head of energy. So as we talked about previously, he does say that the technological goals for 4680s have largely been achieved and that they're currently building a prototype production line. But he does also share a little bit of information on kind of how this whole situation with 4680s is structured, because obviously Tesla kind of introduced these cells. He says, quote, "We are working on the new battery at Tesla's request, and we assume we will be doing business with the company. We have been in discussions with Tesla since before the 2020 event," end quote. And then when asked if Panasonic would be supplying these 4680s to companies other than Tesla, he says, quote, "As principal, Tesla, our close partner, is our main priority, but we won't rule out the possibility of branching out to other companies that share our values if we can do so without overextending our resources. We are considering various possibilities in terms of how we work with automakers," end quote. So I feel like since Battery Day, where Tesla walked through all of this progress that they were making, it's been a little bit of a gray area of how much is really being shared, since we now obviously know that suppliers are also working on 4680s. In that case, how much of this is really going to be a proprietary competitive advantage for Tesla? So like I said, a bit of a gray area, and I have a little bit of a teaser here because tomorrow's episode is going to be an interview with Pierre Farragut. I'm super excited for you guys to all hear this one. This was a great conversation, and this is a perfect primer for it because this is one of the topics that we talk about, and Pierre had some fantastic insights that kind of helped this topic click for me. So keep an eye out for that one tomorrow. Next up, we've got a couple of updates from Elon. First is on a new feature related to driver profiles. We've heard Tesla in the past talk about making driver profiles cloud-based, and now we're finally starting to see some references to cloud profiles in the software. So Tesla Roddy wrote an article about that today, Elon commenting on Twitter saying that in the future, any Tesla you use will automatically sync to your preferences. Sounds like we're getting much closer to that being a reality, and just in time for Hertz, right? I'm sure they're excited about that possibility as well. Elon today also shared a couple of updates on FSD beta, first saying that, quote, "Neural net upgrades coming that improve persistence across time and space, better object permanence," end quote. So this is something that Andre talked a little bit about at AI Day, basically the concept of memory within the neural network, both for a period of time, but then also space-based because something may disappear while you're sitting at a stoplight, for example, for a long period of time. If you haven't moved though, you should still be able to remember that thing. That should also help improve the stability of the visualization, so less flickering or jittering. Elon did also reiterate that we'll see finer grained details of software improvements in the release notes going forward, which we did see in 10.3. As for 10.4, Elon did say that it was probable that that would start rolling out to beta users tomorrow. Remember, after the 10.3 recall though, Elon did say that they will stagger it a little bit now, so slowly adding more groups of beta users as they validate that things are working as intended. Elsewhere in the autonomous driving world, we tend not to talk a whole lot about General Motors' Cruise division, which is separate from their features like Super Cruise or Ultra Cruise. This is really more of their Waymo type of division, and they've just hit a big milestone completing their first driverless robotaxi ride in San Francisco. They did this at around 11 o'clock at night, so not a ton of traffic, but the permit that they have only allows them to operate between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., and they're limited to a maximum speed of 30 miles per hour. So again, basically a Waymo-like setup here, but under their current permit, they can't actually charge for ride-hailing services, but they could charge for delivery. Sounds like there won't be a ton of public access yet, but we will start keeping a little bit of closer eye on what's going on there with Cruise now that they're doing this type of testing. Back to Tesla for just a quick second. We did get a little bit more information now on that Hong Kong Tesla Fest that we mentioned a few episodes ago. And no big surprise here. It's really just to show off and demonstrate the Model Y. And of course, they'll have some other activities and things like that, which is great, but doesn't seem like something we need to keep an eye on for any more news. All right, last couple of things here. Of course, yesterday we had talked about the Volkswagen Works Council pushing back on Herbert Diess. There are no major updates there in terms of anything being resolved. Not that that would have been expected, but there were some new details from a Bloomberg article. They've captured some of the quotes that were said during this meeting between Diess and workers. Nothing too crazy here, but Diess did acknowledge some of the frequent Tesla comments. He says, quote, "I'm often being asked why I keep comparing us with Tesla. I know that it's annoying to some people, but it's my task and that of the entire management to assess the competition correctly, to prepare the group for it, and make it future-proof," end quote. I think we all understand that, and hopefully Diess will keep that up and get his message across, but I did have to kind of chuckle here at a zinger laid out by the head of the Works Council. She said, quote, "You supply us frequently with nice pictures from your trips, but unfortunately still not with semiconductors," end quote. That's one you know she's been saving up for a while. Other than that, no further updates on the Volkswagen situation. So then lastly today, an update on SpaceX, which today received a ruling in their favor for the Lunar Lander contract lawsuit filed by Blue Origin. Jeff Bezos on Twitter saying, quote, "Not the decision we wanted, but we respect the court's judgment and wish full success for NASA and SpaceX on the contract," end quote. So judging by that language, hopefully no appeal on that. So very exciting for SpaceX and for NASA. They should now be able to commence on that project. As for us, as we head into tomorrow, I am planning to post that interview with Pierre Farragut. That should be at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. UTC. That'll be the episode for tomorrow. So any news that we have, we'll catch up with on Monday. And then hopefully we'll also see FSD Beta 10.4 start rolling out tomorrow. I won't be able to do a video right away this time, but we'll try to get some first impressions of that sometime early next week. So that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for that interview for the November 5th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.